Welcome, everybody, to Practical Living. We have great tips for you that you don't want to miss. Have your paper and pen ready so that you can write down whatever it is that you don't want to forget. We have practical matters and much more. But before we go any further, let's ponder our practical thought.
Thank you, Andriette. Hi and welcome. I'm Dumisani Mfune, and I'll be with you for the next 30 or so minutes. I want to talk about friendship, about friends. I know we all have friends. And you know what? I've got an interesting story I want to tell you about friends towards the end of the program. And if you have interesting stories as well, write in, you know, and I'd love to read those stories and let other people know about your experience with friendship. Okay? So you'll have to listen for the address. But I have a poem for you. It says, "You're never alone." Listen closely. "You're never alone, I'm always near. When you're troubled, down or blue, all you have to do is call me. I'm always here for you. It doesn't matter where I'm at. It doesn't matter when. When you need someone to talk to, I'm here to be your friend. If you need someone to hold your hand, or a hug to say I care. If you need a shoulder to cry on, for you, I will be there." So never think you are a burden when the weight gets to be too much. You might find if you looked hard enough, a good friend could be the right touch. You're never alone. I'm always here. Through the good times and the bad, I'm always here to be your friend. I don't like to see you sad. That poem was written by an author known as KC. Well, right now, let's switch over to hear what Manjla has in store for us. Up next is Practical Matters. Welcome back to Practical Matters. I'm Dumisani Mfune, and with me is
Manjla Lupondwana.
Guys, I know that you've been enjoying these lessons. You know, keep the messages coming in. We really appreciate that. Last time we looked at the role of a husband as the head of the home and how the Bible says that the husband is the head and culture agrees. Now, we mentioned the Bible, and I do realize that there are different religions out there, and Manjla has some good advice too. So Manjla, let's get right into it.
Today we take it a step further. One of the things you need to talk about as a couple that's in love is the spirituality of your family. Before we get into the spirituality of your family that you want, let's talk about your religious backgrounds and your religious beliefs as the guy and the girl who's planning to get married. It is always wise to marry someone who shares your faith.
Okay.
If you don't, you are adding problems to a relationship that already has problems. Marriage already has its own challenges that you have to deal with. Now, when you add to that religious tension, you're going to be in trouble.
But Manjla, I mean, at the end of the day, don't we all pray to the same God?
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
With Muslims, and I'll come to Christians. Muslims have two major divisions, the Sunnis and the Shiites. Yes, they are all Muslims, all ascribing to Allah, all but believing that his prophet is Muhammad. They all use the same Quran. However, they've got serious differences in understanding and interpreting God's will. Therefore, my advice, if you are Sunni, marry a Sunni. If you are Shiite, marry a Shiite. You do not want to have the religious tension in your marriage. It causes problems. Now, let's come to the Christian faith.
I'm just still trying to see, like, when you say it causes problems, what
kind of problem?
Yeah, because I'm still not quite seeing the problem there.
We'll see. Let's talk to Christians for a while. I'm going to break it down and you're going to see it.
All right.
Christians, amongst the Christian faith, you've got various persuasions. For example, you have three major persuasions in the Christian faith. The Catholic would be fourth, but Catholics are different than Catholics. Yes, they believe in Christ and so on, but they're Catholic. You've got your Catholic tradition, which under it has your Anglicans and churches which follow that tradition. And you've got another tradition amongst Christians, which are African indigenous churches. These are churches that have taken Christianity and blended it with African traditional religions, so to speak. These are churches that allow you, for example, to go and do your sacrifices for your ancestors and so on and so forth, the various traditional rituals. That's one persuasion. And then you've got your Pentecostal persuasion, your charismatic Pentecostal persuasion. These are people who have a very strong Holy Spirit influence, whose even style of worship is different, whose Christianity is completely separated from ancestral worship and so on and so forth. But these three persuasions I'm talking about, they've got some things in common. And one of the things they have in common is that they all worship on Sunday. Then you've got a different persuasion where you have your Seventh-day Baptists, your Seventh-day Adventists, your various persuasions, Worldwide Church of God. These are churches that have, who believe in the observance of the Seventh-day Sabbath, which falls from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday. Now, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. That's the tradition I'd fall into. Now, if I were to marry, now we are all Christians in the sense that we believe in the Bible, we believe in God, Jesus Christ. We broadly agree on most of our beliefs. Now, if I marry a lady from the Christian tradition, whether it's Catholic or Protestant or your African indigenous church or your, you know, it doesn't matter. If I marry one of them, immediately, as much as we're both Christians, our first difference is going to be, when do we go to church? Do we go to church on Sabbath? Or do we go to church on Sunday? That's the very first one to begin with.
Well, why not go both days and get, you know, a double blessing?
Yes, some people have said, why don't go on both days? But the challenge is this. You'll find that if, as a Seventh-day Adventist, when I'm going on Sunday, I don't believe I should be going there on Sunday to begin with. And the person who believes in the Sunday believes probably that the whole Saturday thing was, it's irrelevant, it should not be happening. Now, you'll find out that going to church on a Sunday may not be an issue for someone who says, well, I can go for an hour or two and come back. But for me as a Seventh-day Adventist, the whole Sabbath is holy. Friday, Saturday to Saturday to Saturday evening, sunset. Those 24 hours are holy. That's no work. Okay. There's no movie. There's no soccer game. It's holy hours. The entire day is holy. We don't go shopping on that day.
So then it's not about the time that you spend in church.
No, it's not. Now, the moment you do that, even though my wife may say, if I'm prepared to go to church, it may be a different story for her to spend an entire 24 hours holy. 24 hours, we don't shop. Whatever plays on TV is a religious DVD, or we switch on to a religious channel. If we're listening to music, it's religious all the way. When do we cook? We cook before the sun sets on Friday evening. That's when all clothes are ironed. That's when everything is ready, so that the focus for the day is God. There is no work. I don't go to work. If I've got my own business, I close it on Sabbath. Imagine that. Now imagine the amount of money you lose by not being on business on Saturday. The wife may say, it's too much. It just doesn't make sense. But it's clear for me. The Bible says I do not work. My servant should not work. My wife should not work. My kids should not work. My animals should not work. Even the stranger in my gate should not work. Clear. Fourth commandment. It says so. You know, same way God worked for 6 days and rest on the seventh, I should work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. So you'll find that becomes a challenge to someone who doesn't believe in the holiness of the Sabbath. Even though you may then say, but you're both Christian, what's the big deal? It is a big deal.
Okay.
It is a big deal. Now, secondly, you will find that as churches, we have differences in the way we view life, in the way we view issues of death, in the way we talk about finances and our responsibilities there. So you find that it is not enough. We'll get into some of those differences later. It is not enough for you to say, we are both Christian, even within the Christian faith. Let's assume you take two people who both go to church on Sunday, for example. One is Catholic, one is Methodist. The Catholic is going to be praying to Mary. And the Methodist is going to say, I do not pray to Mary. I pray to God through Jesus. And the Catholic says, but we pray to saints. We pray to Mary and we pray to saints. And these guys kind of facilitate and they help what's in the whole prayer story. You understand?
I see. And so, they're both Christians.
They're both Christians.
They both worship on the same day,
but then they have that difference.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean? So it is best for a Methodist, marry a Methodist. Best for a Catholic, Catholic, marry a Catholic. Why? Because you will have your agreement in terms of religion. You do not have to have those clashes when you come home. You don't have to have clashes over what you observe, what you don't observe, what you do, what you don't do on a religious basis.
So then it's not about which religion is better than the other. It's just about avoiding tension completely.
At this level, it's about you being in agreement with the person that you want to marry religiously.
Okay. Manza, we run out of time, but I think we still need to look at this a little more. So remember, it's not about which religion is better than the other. Right now, we just want to avoid problems completely. Until next time, I'm Dumisani Mfune.
And I'm Manza Lupandwana.
Thank you.
You're listening to Practical Living, right here on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio.
Now, if you've just joined us, we heard a poem earlier on called You're Never Alone by KC. Now, remember, we're talking about friendship. It's important that we all have friends. What are friends for, one might wonder? Well, let's face it, guys. Sometimes this walk, you know, this world that we're in, sometimes it gets lonely. And if you don't have a friend, it can be miserable. I remember there are times when my friends have been all that was there, all that kept me going. You know, college was a tough experience for me. I was far from home, and some of the courses really, really were hard. And I remember there are a few instances when my friends just helped me through it. They gave me the encouragement that I needed. And just the fact that they were there to listen to me did it all for me. And that is one reason why we all need friends. We'll talk a little more about this, but right now it's time for Consider This.
Welcome to Consider This, a young youth program where we talk about relevant topics. Today we're going to talk about finding your life partner. Is it possible? Is there somebody out there for you?
I would like my husband one day to be a rich man with a good job. He must have dark hair and be very well built.
I have a high-paying job. So I'd like my wife one day to be a babe who will bring food for me when I get home, bring me my newspaper, and look good on my arm as a kind of trophy, like a model.
No, that's not what I want. I want someone who will respect me as a person with my own identity. He can rather be poor or blonde.
I'm not exactly a rich man, but I'm an atheist who lives for the here and now, and therefore my wives will be treated like royalty and given all they want within my means.
No, no, no. I want to be the only one. But an atheist? I have been raised a Christian. I can't forsake what I believe. Hold on. What do I believe?
I was raised a Christian, but I guess I'm not exactly practicing it. I mean, I have a little trouble controlling my anger, but that's why I want a wife who will work, so I don't have to do much.
No, and 100 times no. I guess just saying he's a Christian isn't good enough. I guess in the end, it's the person's character that matters. I want someone who will really love me for who I am, treat me with respect, and grow with me as a Christian. I want someone who's trying to be like Christ.
Finding your life partner. I mean, that's a kind of a hectic thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we as young people, we have our whole lives ahead of us, and we don't want to go through it alone. But yet, finding a life partner, when I think of that, I think, whoa, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of risk involved
yeah.
in that.
Yeah.
I mean, when does it start? When does it end? What does it mean to have a,
yeah.
a life partner?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would you say? What does
I
it mean
think,
to have a life partner?
I think
partner?
Originally, the question's wrong.
Okay.
I don't think we find a life partner. I think God finds a life partner for us.
Okay.
So first off, we need to go on our knees. That's like the first step you need
before
to
you even start.
Before you even start looking for it. Because, I mean, there's a billion people on the planet. you can't really start going and asking, look, are you my life partner? Like, how about you? You know? Kind of.
Okay, so do you think that there's only one person for one?
Also like, wanted to ask that.
There's only your one light and shining armor. If you miss him, you miss him.
Yeah, there might be an option of five. Maybe, like...
How does that work?
People say that there's three people that are made for you.
Okay.
And if you miss the three, you're done for.
You're done.
But that's kind of gloomy.
That's
gloomy. What if I've missed those three?
Right.
Whatever, you know?
It's a problem.
I think, like you say, God will send you the right person. And I think, in a way, our characters will be formed. We'll grow towards each other.
Right.
But it's a process. It's not like, today I meet you, tomorrow you're my life partner.
Yeah.
I think it's, you're looking at, and that's why the dating and the courtship thing kind of comes in,
right.
You know?
Right.
We go through a process. It's not just, I meet you today, tomorrow we get married.
Right.
Yet, in a lot of instances, it is like that.
Right.
I meet you today, a few weeks later, let's just get married. It's just like that.
Yeah, but that's where problems come in, because I can't marry if I don't know you.
Okay,
yeah, exactly.
But let's go through the process. What would you say is the process of finding a life partner?
Okay.
Okay, firstly, you said prayer. Okay,
right.
God. So he's the first fundamental part that we should start at. We should start with God. But then what?
I think you should move into friendship, which is a stage that most of us miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
We always find this guy and I like him. And then the first thing you do is date him, you know?
Okay.
And that's the problem, because if you're looking for a life partner, you need to have your... to live with your friend.
Yes,
your best friend.
Your best friend. Someone who even, like, the worst of the worst situations, you run to him not by just subconsciously, oh my gosh, I wish I could tell him, or I wish he could see this, you know?
So someone you can have fun with.
Right.
You can talk to, not just romantically, but you can see, like, hey, what did you think about the movie?
Yeah.
Or just anything.
Yeah.
It should be a friend. Okay. So now we're friends, okay, we get to know each other. In a group would be good.
Right.
You see how they interact in different spheres.
Right.
And then what? Where do you go then?
Personally, I think, I think you should then let the other people know that you're interested, which is dating.
Okay. Because that's an interesting thing, dating and courtship.
Yeah,
I know in our context here in South Africa, courting is kind of obsolete. We don't really talk about courting anymore.
Right.
It's just dating, engagement, marriage.
Well, what is courting?
What would you say is courting?
Like,
I know the courting does exist, but I think we must just get our minds around what aspect is dating, what aspect is courting.
Right, where I come from, this is how it works. You become friends first.
Mm.
But a friendship is between you and I, right?
Okay.
It's not public. It's not for public announcement. But then as we start dating, it's letting everyone know that this is my special friend.
So it's more
exclusive. It's a bit more exclusive.
Okay.
Then courting has a goal.
Okay. Being married.
That's how we do it.
Okay.
So you could be friends for even 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? Before dating. That's how we do it.
So
and then after that, then you tell everyone, listen, we're dating.
Yeah, it's more exclusive.
It's more exclusive. This is him and I are an item now and want to pursue.
Yeah.
You know? Then you move into courting.
So when you're in the dating phase, it's exclusive. Everybody knows, but there's still a bit more leeway.
Right.
You're still checking each other out.
Right.
In the dating phase, you're looking forward to the courting phase.
Yes.
You want to see if you can get there.
So the
when you're courting, you're going to...
Exactly.
Step to step.
Right.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Right.
Yeah.
But now how do you... How would you go about, say now, in our context, we don't have that really. Say now you're already at that place where you really feel that this is the person for you.
Right.
How would you make sure that this is the person for you?
I was going to ask that because, you know, if I believe that, say I come from a whole different country and I live here now, you know, how do I know that my partner isn't here? How do I know that my partner isn't,
exactly,
you know, from Joburg or something, you know? How would I know?
Mm.
Maybe my partner is from a different, which takes into retrospect the intercultural.
There's an interesting thing I read in a psychology book the other day, that proximity has a big deal to do with it.
Right.
You won't fall in love with somebody in Germany because you're not close to
exactly.
You normally fall in love with somebody that is close to you, in your proximity, that shares the same thing with you.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe goes to the same laundromat or the same gym or same church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's important, you know, the same faith. So proximity is important.
Right.
And compatibility.
Right.
Definitely.
I mean, yes, you can have a lot of friends, but there's just someone that you click with, that chemistry.
You're on the same wavelength.
Exactly. You can speak on an intellectual level, on a spiritual level, on all those levels.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Have you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue that you would like addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That is awr@sidmedia.org.
All right, talking about friends, okay? Listen to this. A wise man once said, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Now, this wise man is none other than Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And all his wise sayings have been put together into a beautiful book in the Bible, the book of Proverbs. So that is from Proverbs 18, verse 24. It's basically saying that you can have a lot of friends and you can put your trust in them, but there will come a point when they will let you down. However, there is a particular friend. There is one person that sticks closer than a brother. Now, if you don't have a brother or a sibling that you're really, really close to, you might not understand this. But I remember, you know, wrestling with my little brother, you know, beating him up. And then from nowhere, we're just like the best of friends. And when I think of all the experiences my brother and I have been through, and then I listen to this, I'm like, can there be someone who can actually be closer to me than my brother is? And the answer is a big, resounding yes. So this particular person can be your friend, can be my friend. And they're just simple things we need to do to befriend him. And throughout the rest of this week, we'll kind of talk about what some of those things are and the many, many benefits we would have having him as a friend. Now, just in case you're wondering who this person is, I'll tell you his name. His name is Jesus. That's right. Jesus is this person that I'm talking about. And before I leave you, there's a song that I want you to listen to. It talks about the sweetest name. So you see that? Just his name, just the name Jesus is incredible. It's amazing. So I hope this song blesses you. And until we meet tomorrow, God bless you. Remember, Jesus is the sweetest name.
Jesus, you're the sweetest name of all. Jesus, you always hear me when I call. Jesus, you pick me up each time I fall. You're the sweetest name of all. The first, the last, the same. Oh Jesus, you died and took away my shame. You're the sweetest name of all. Up.
Have you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue that you would like addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That is awr@sidmedia.org.
Remember, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will help to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.